So you said Allen's sick?
Yeah, he said he's getting sick. He popped like 3 NyQuils and shit right now.
Damn. You comfortable right there? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just racked out or what?
No, I think he's watching watching a game and shit right now.
Game Wednesday night?
Fucking baseball. The playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, bro.
This is type crazy.
I can tell you a little nervous.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just okay. A little bit.
So, first podcast. So, what do you think in your head is like, what about the process of a podcast? Because you've been ducking and dodging me for like the last 3 months about this shit, bro.
I have.
So what is it about it? Just being
I guess. Just being on... Not knowing who's out there watching this, analyzing me, is a little, I don't know, it just feels a little scary, I guess.
But, damn, dog, this is, fuck, dude, I haven't done a podcast in, 2 months,
bro. I was about to say, bro, I think that's what makes this worse. I'm, what? The return. You know, you haven't done one in a minute, and then.
I mean, it's going to be all of 20 people that watch it, so no worries. let's see. No, last one got 80 views, actually, on YouTube.
Jesus. 80 people, that's a lot of people, bro.
So, this is episode 77. I haven't done a podcast in, 2 months. Last one was with Paul.
Damn, that's a tough act to follow, too. It was a good podcast, everything too. Everything is lining up.
Yeah,
that was a tough act to follow.
But, been a couple reasons why I would say I haven't done a podcast in a while. Maybe we can get into it.
You've been busy or what?
Yes and no, because while I have been very busy, at the same time there's always time to do things that you care about, you know. However, for some reason I've had a little bit on top of us trying to get this business going, which we're gonna talk about, I feel like a lot of the free time I have right now has been going to that and just figuring out that stuff. But also,
does the editing take a while
for the
those videos you made?
So the last one I made, it probably took in total, if I were to just sit down
and do it one session, you started right now,
6-7 hours. See, that was not intentional, but I would say
damn.
6-7 hours, and then
they're working at Powder Room 12.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Taking up all your time. Damn.
Yeah. So at Powder Room, I'm working at least I would say I average 40-50 hours at Powder Room. Some weeks a little bit less, but doing that, and then also trying to trying to stay fit out here in Austin's a must too, bro. And it's you can't be looking a sack of potatoes. Especially with you motherfuckers always just talking shit.
And also too, I feel anybody that has a brand out here, any type of anything, they're super jacked and ripped.
Yeah,
and
you can't be looking like a piece of shit out here. You know, so it's having the industry job and then still trying to be active and look good is dude, it's a very hard thing to balance. Which
we could tell you're struggling.
Yeah, shut up. I feel like for the last, I would say 10 episodes, I kind of wasn't sure the direction of where I seen this platform going, if that makes sense. Obviously, a lot of people would still ask me, are you still doing the pod? What's going on with that? But at the same time, I just, especially when I would do it, I wasn't honestly the most excited about the product I was putting out. Even though, maybe from the outside looking in, it still looked the same. It was, in my head, it's, I don't know what kind of changed for me, but it just wasn't as fulfilling. And so I feel like I needed some time to really, and I'm still kind of figuring that out right now, but I really needed to take some time to understand where the platform is going and maybe, just kind of pay a little bit more attention to that aspect of it. Because I don't want to just come here and just
record some bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm a very intentional person. I don't want to just put whatever out there. And so I was kind of struggling with that too. And then also, I feel like at this phase in my own life, and this is a podcast with you, so I don't want to feel like like I'm just like taking up all the fucking.
I know, you've just been talking about yourself.
I know. But I'm trying to catch up the people, you know.
No, go for it. No, you're good. I'm acting like I don't know all of this too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I
already know it.
So yeah. Feel free to just.
But let also, them know whatever. Just at this stage of my life, especially since I moved to Austin, there's been so many moving parts, and
it's been a lot.
I've been learning so much about myself and just so many things, especially with the business and the industry of like, it's so much to take in to where I feel like I'm better off just soaking all of this like information and knowledge. Mm. And like, because of that, I haven't felt as inclined to share. Mm. Because I'm figuring shit out myself.
Yeah, I have
dude.
Nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, what am I going to do and talk? What am I going to come on and talk about right now? You know, like,
gotcha.
So it's just, it's been a lot.
Makes
having
sense.
To do with that.
There is actually, you do have a lot that you could catch them up on now, like thinking about like that first trip to Chihuahua. Mm. Like the like different shit like that, like it could really,
yeah, I would say so.
Not saying now, I don't want to fucking hear that shit now just because they need to hear it. No,
yeah, dude, that's why we're here.
Cut this out, I guess.
No, I'm not going to, but dude, so yeah, so anyways, this is Francisco Andres.
This is me.
Yep. And
nervous and all, you could probably tell, right?
Yeah,
through the camera.
But we've known each other, bro, since fucking
12, bro.
Middle school. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always funny when we tell people, or like, oh, how long you know him? And I say, oh, I've known him since I was 12, because I always hit him with I used to shove him in the lockers.
Dude, that is like,
dude, that's a classic
line that actually always works.
It always breaks the ice. Like,
exactly.
Well,
he used to shove me in the lockers, you know?
You start dying laughing and
dude,
shit.
Dude, yeah,
that's
yeah.
funny.
But, yeah, dude, I think you came out to Nolan, what, in seventh grade?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, dude, you were a dude where I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to take him under my wing because he's just getting bullied and fucking, he's not, you know, people are just kind of messing with him.
Word.
So I needed to kind of step in and make sure you were, all jokes aside, honestly, bro, you were legit. And I mean this like in the most respectful way possible. Like you were just a class clown, bro. I feel like you just made everybody laugh. Would you not agree with
no,
that?
No, I've been told I was like actually probably one of the more like smarter students in our grade in our class. I've been also told I remember getting told a lot like you captivate a room when you walk in.
Okay.
You're able to like I was more like
who I don't told know, you t- that
and tell it like teachers,
okay,
women, like just anybody
I
really
that.
Class clown. I mean. You know, that's part of the charisma, I guess. You got to be a little funny.
Yeah.
But.
The class count's not the right word.
Nah,
you,
I was beast, bro.
You would make the whole class, like, laugh.
Just act a fool.
Yeah.
I was acting a lot of phone calls home.
Mm. I would say we were very close, but at the same time, I feel like you still had, like, we still had our own,
we
like,
were,
friend
like,
groups.
Friends through friend groups. Like,
yes,
if that makes sense.
But I mean, I could still chill with you, like just me and you. But like,
nah,
we really
I couldn't. I was just like, oh, this dude's a little weird. Like, where's the third homie at? Nah,
yeah,
I'm just playing.
Yeah,
nah, I'm just playing. I'm fucking with you. Yeah, no. But yeah, then you went to Andrus and he got nice at basketball.
I was always nice.
Nah.
Yeah.
Got nice. That shit. Then you know he got too cool for me and shit.
Yeah, so long story short, we ended up going our separate ways. He went to Chapin, I went to Andrus. His mom was missing me, though. I know she was. I was her favorite friend for sure.
It's because you were like the little geek. Like you were like so nerdy and like geeky that it was like my mom was like, yo, like please be around this and not like...
Not your other friends.
Not the people, yeah.
That... Smoking weed with and doing all this other...
I actually never smoked.
No?
Weed in my life.
Okay.
I've never smoked.
All right. So how was high school for you then?
It was chill. Just got by. And really, I never really like... I don't know. I was just...
High school was tough for you, wasn't it?
High school was just high school, bro. You trying to figure out everything. Trying to figure yourself out. Figure out life.
So what were your plans?
In high school?
Yeah. What did you see in your future? Nothing?
Honestly, bro, like, not nothing, but I felt like I couldn't process life that far ahead in high school. I was just worried about the next day, really. So I feel like, I don't know, I felt like I always was, like, more, like, I'll cross that bridge when I get there in terms of, like, life and in terms of, you know, until, like, a certain point. Like, once I was, like, 20, that's when I was like, all right, hold up.
What made you, because you went to the military after high school, what made you go to the military?
Dude, my dad was like, what are you, so I moved to Georgia my senior year.
Yeah.
And then my dad was just like, you about to be 18, you about to graduate, like, you, what you about to do? He basically told me, you either going to school or you joining the military. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mind you, that mindset of, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. Well, I got there and I didn't know really what I was going to do. So instead of, like, in my mind, also too, like, at this point, like, nobody in my family had gone to college. So college always felt like, it looked daunting almost. It was like, fuck, like, thousands of dollars for school and then me not knowing exactly.
Because you struggled in school and things like that, you know?
No, but I guess so, actually. Not that I struggled, but I never applied myself. So to now think, like, fuck, instead of, like, the $2 lunches, now it's like you're paying for tuition and you're paying for all this shit. It made it seem a little bit more intimidating at that time, like, at 18. So I just joined the army off of that, really just off of that. Like, it was nothing on some, like, oh, I want to, you know, serve this country.
Yeah.
I'm fucking American. No, it was more like,
just make the decision.
I had nothing to do, exactly. Yeah. And I didn't know what to do. So I was like, fuck it, I'll see if I like it. Because in my mind, I also was like, who knows, maybe I'll fuck with this. And then, like, my contract is up. And the next thing you know, I'm just in a charger. Two divorces.
Yeah.
You know? Having a good time.
Hell yeah. On Cincinnati. Yeah. El Paso.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Damn. And so the military, do you feel like that benefited you? Did you?
What? Yeah. Oh, definitely, bro.
Yeah.
If I always tell, like, because I've met, like, let's say just people that I know, like their siblings, they're like 18, not knowing what to do. I always tell people, just join the army, bro. Just join and then get out. And because even if you join, you get out, you get like free school.
Yeah.
Like if you do everything right, you play your cards right. My job in the army though was a lot of like IT stuff. Like we would do a lot of, make sure, like when we were in the States, it was a lot of like, make sure user accounts are up, like make sure people could access our computer. Very nerdy, geeky shit. But I knew it paid well, like outside the military, right? So it wasn't like I didn't know where to go. It was more like I found something I'm good at. It's not really what I, you know, it's not really me. But so it was more like going through the motions. Like I, you know, then I get to LA and I get the office job and I just, you know, stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
In the morning.
But the way you got that was like a pretty crazy story.
Was insane. Yeah. It was definitely a blessing. Like,
But you knew you were not going to re-enlist. Like,
yeah, I knew. I knew I was
four and done.
My plan, really, if I couldn't find a job, was to just use my GI Bill, which is like the education one. So they pay for your school, they give you money for rent. Like, you'd be chilling until you get your degree. And then, again, the way I would think, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. So I'll just, you know. But no, we hit the lottery with the job. So fucking.
How did that come about?
Dude, I spammed, like, Indeed before Indeed was, like, full of bots and shit.
Yeah.
And then one of them called me back. We set up a Zoom meeting.
And it's a cybersecurity job.
It's, like, IT, yeah, cybersecurity. Okay. A little bit of, like, help desk, system admin, a little bit of everything, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just spammed all the, like, job listings. One called. We set up a meeting. And then
it was like some crazy lore that
because we had the first interview and it went well.
Yeah.
You know, we chopping it up. They fucking with the boy, you could tell. And then they were like, okay, can you come in next week? But I was still in the army and I got out in a month. So I told them, I was like, yo, you give me a month, I'll be there. Like, you know, and they're like, fuck, we really need somebody. But you know what? Like, just we'll reach out. Never heard from them. And now, instead of having a month left, I only had a week. Like, it's like, let's say, to put it, not that I know the exact days, but to put it in like chronological order. Let's say my flight to LA was Saturday because I was gonna go to LA, and that's
just to be out there. And you weren't moving yet.
No, I was moving out there. I was moving out there. All my stuff was ready to be over there. Like, car was gonna get shipped. And then on Thursday, I remember I was on the phone with an old friend, and she was like, I remember calling her, and I was like, man, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, I remember telling her, kind of, you know, just venting, letting shit out, like, fuck. I got, you know, I thought this interview went well, and I mentioned that to her. And I remember she was telling me, she was like, why don't you just call him back and, like, you know, just see what's happening. And so I took her advice. I called him. And then next thing you know, I was like, hey, like, I just want to let you know I'll be in LA Saturday. But I also lied to him. And I told him I got another job offer, but I really, you know, I really fuck with your guys' company. Like, I really, you know, enjoy, I see the vision. I want, I'd rather be a part of this. But, you know, just so they could feel a little bit of, little bit of pressure. And then as soon as I hung up the phone,
they're like, oh, who's it with?
They just start bullshitting. Yeah, just start saying something. Fucking, I don't know, Apple. But, and then as soon as I hung up the phone, like 2 minutes later, I get the job offer, like the job letter, the offer letter come in. So that was like I remember I cried that day.
Damn.
That was like a good day. Just, you know, just hype. Like, oh shit, because the job's in LA too.
Yeah.
You know, being from Puerto Rico, and then growing up in El Paso for like most of my life, it's like a LA job seemed at that time at 22. Seemed
And not sugarcoating it either. You, like, you started making, I'm sure you make more now, but like even then it was like a good
A crazy jump.
It was a crazy jump.
It was a little bit, almost a little bit too much too. Not too much in terms of like the money, because you can't have
like imposter syndrome type shit.
I fell into that quick. Because then, you know, because I go from, also you got to understand, like, the camaraderie and like the military is way different than, you know, especially at corporate in LA. Now I'm hearing problems like fucking their Starbucks order was wrong. Bitching all morning, you know, oh my God, the printer's jammed. Yeah, my life is over. After, you know, just seeing a little.
Bitching.
Exactly. My kids are, you know, hate me and shit. And so it's just a completely different world. So that also was, I felt like I went from one side of the spectrum to something completely new. Yeah,
first world problems.
Pretty much. Yeah. My USB-C charger, I got to use the USB one. Now it's like slow, you know, like little shit like that. So that was also kind of like, not difficult. It's just, it was all.
It was hard to relate to them.
Hard to, yeah.
Because you were probably the youngest.
Yeah. I was dumb young too, bro. Dumb young. Like, at that time, compared
to... They probably showed up, and they're like, yo, what the
fuck? Who is this? Yeah, deadass. But deadass. But no, it worked out, though.
Yeah.
Worked out.
And so you still work with the same company?
Mm-hmm. Just fully remote now, which is even better.
What brought you to Austin, then?
To be honest...
Because you were in L.A.
I was in L.A.
And then you moved to Florida.
And then I bought a house in Florida. That was, so then I moved to Florida.
So wait, how the fuck did you get to the point where, like, you were able to buy a house? Because at 23, you don't see many 23-year-olds buying property nowadays, you know?
How did I get there? Shit, just...
Saving up.
It's because when I was in LA, I was in a... At that time, I was in a relationship. And I was young, like... So, you know, you young in love, you thinking...
You guys had your own apartment
together? We had our own apartment, all that good stuff. So you thinking, you know, like, you're not... You're not spending money on bullshit. I'm not out spending money on a bottle. I'm not out, like, traveling to see shit without, you know. Especially when living in L.A., it was easy to go do something and just, you know, stay kind of local. So that whole time, I was just stacking up. But I remember during my, like, last year in the Army, I really, like, invested into, like, looking into, like, all my benefits. Like, what am I entitled to? What... Because, you know, you got to play the cards you're dealt with in this game of life. And so just kind of looking at all that. And then from there, I've always, like, from 2021, like, basically when Orlando, because Orlando had, like, a COVID boom. A lot of people moved to Florida once everything else shut down. So I always, you know, I was just very interested in that area. I noticed, like, certain things that, like, that part of Florida was missing compared to other bigger cities that, it was like, it's a lot of boring shit. But basically, there was a town that I always, like, that I always was like, if I could get in at a good price here, I know it'll work out, and you know, in the end. So in after saving up all that money when I was in LA, and then they gave me the job offer to, you know, move remote, that's when I moved to Florida, bought a house.
Were you nervous about it?
About buying a house?
Yeah,
no, for sure. It's a lot. Yeah. And there's a lot that, because mind you, again, I was 23, so I'm fucking, my brain's not developed and everything, you know? So it's like, there's a lot of stuff that going into it, I didn't know, or I didn't, like, just, I don't know, because it sounds dumb saying it now, but like, the jump from like appliances, like in terms of, you know, a one bedroom apartment to a four bedroom house.
Yeah, it's a totally different.
It's a completely different world. Like, yeah, and just like.
Did you have someone help you like furnish it and do? Or wait, was it even for? No, you don't, because you're gonna rent it out. You didn't furnish it yourself, right?
No, well, I had to be there for a year.
Oh, you're right.
Being in my house, so I mean, I just went to like Rooms To Go and bought a living room, and then I just put it there, you know? Nothing too...
Yeah, nothing crazy.
Nothing too fancy yet.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy yet. Would you get an interior designer? Like, if you bought... If shit works out, would you hire
somebody? Yeah, 100%.
Right?
I don't want to do anything, bro. Like, I just want to, like...
Jesus.
Let them, like... Or at least let... Like, if all goes well, you know, you have a girl at the time, then...
Okay, that's true. You gotta put that into...
They girls usually tend to, like... Like that's doing true. Stuff like that.
That is true.
You know.
That is true.
No, just true. Designing, not like cooking and cleaning.
Where? Yeah. They're not gonna buy the bottle.
But yeah, dude, so you end up going to Florida, live there for a year.
Live there for a year, and then for Florida, that's cause I went all over really, because then I moved to New York for that summer.
You're right.
That's when I did the New York summer. And that was another How do I explain it? Because in Florida, I was alone that entire year.
Yeah.
Like in Florida, I didn't know nobody. I wouldn't be popping out. I wouldn't be really doing nothing. I would just gym. I had Benji, the dog. Mm. So I'd be chilling with him. Not really doing much. Because also where my house was at is a little bit away. It's like living, let's say, in like Buda from Austin, right?
Damn, you must have been bored out of your mind.
Bored out of my
mind,
bro. Bored. Jesus. But I was also very, like, because I was in school, even though I still am.
Yeah.
But I also had school, and that was, like, the most, honestly, that year was the most locked in I was ever in terms of, like, physical, mental, like, work, school, like, all that. In terms of all that, I was the most locked in.
Because
I had no distractions. It was chill. But then to go from that to go to New York City was lit, though, too. Like, everything felt more exciting. Like, after being so slow.
And then you're with the homies out there. Dude, you guys talk about that all the time. I'm like, damn. That would have been crazy.
You know, like, it's interesting because it comes up every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I feel like the way that we've been blessed to live life, we kind of, something new always seems to happen that kind of, like, because I don't like sitting too much in conversations of the past.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, not saying it's like, not to sound like some fucking, you know, crazy, like I.
It's for losers. Nah.
I mean, let's make more. And something always.
We can appreciate the past, but like, why are we
going to? I don't want to live there. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it comes up maybe when.
Because too many people do.
They get too hyped. Yeah. Oh, you remember we won state in high school? And they're like all hyped about it and shit. It's like, so I don't know. I don't want to ever end up doing that because I get maybe complacent.
Yeah.
I've done all this or whatever. So.
What's next?
Exactly.
Mm.
What's next?
This podcast.
I think I'm getting a little bit more.
Yeah, I can
right?
tell.
Right? More. I'm looking a little.
Yeah, I have that effect on people, you know? But, yeah, bro. So.
Looking a little more. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
So, you go to New York, but then what was the reasoning behind coming to Austin?
The reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I heard there was like a lot of hot women here and I was just like, nah, I'm just playing. Really, bro, to be honest, I have friends out here that were all out here and I've been, So in New York, I didn't live with no friends except for, you know, my boys that I met. But then in LA, I also didn't meet no friends. I was always chilling with, like, you know, people that weren't my friend. They were just friends of friends, you know. And, like, I feel like I never made my own community. I never had my people to, you know, go kick it with. And then I go to Florida for a year and I go back to that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of chilling by myself. So Austin, I had a lot of people out here, like from the, no, from you the didn't. Jump. I mean, it wasn't Beast.
Just for my own question. So you knew Dez?
Dez, Khalil, Gandhi. I
completely forgot about Khalil and Gandhi. Okay.
There was a couple people out here that like, there was even though I never, there was one person that she's out here, but I still haven't hung out with her and I feel so fucked up with.
Who?
We'll cut it out. Yeah, I have people out here.
We're actually live on Twitch right now. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Imagine. To like 2,000 people watching. But I felt like I had more of a community out here. And then my boy Alan, he was down to move out here too, to go to UT. So it was like, you know, maybe
if Alan wasn't down, would you have still moved out here?
Probably not, to be honest. Shout out Alan. Not, to be honest, because I felt like, especially at that time, I was a lot closer to Alan and Diego from Dallas than I was to your people out here, just because I've been living with them.
Yeah.
So if they were like, fuck it, let's make some shit shake out here.
And was Diego trying to move to Austin?
Or? No, Diego low-key didn't want to leave New York.
Gotcha.
At first. But then he was down to go to Dallas. Dallas, he still kept the job. So, you know.
You ended up making that move.
Then we ended up making the move, came out here, and then you popped up like 3 months later, and you was, you know, you was on my line talking about, oh, I'm alone.
Nah.
I'm lonely. My car just got stolen.
No, real shit, though. I moved out here. So you got here in August?
I got here in August. I got here in August, but then I left to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I left to Puerto Rico.
Left to PR. So did you really experience much of Austin before I got here?
Bro, honestly, no. When you got here, that's when I really started going out around here.
Motion started coming up.
That's true. And shit was starting to look different. Yeah. Shit was starting to look different. So I was like, let me be a part of this.
Yep.
Let me be a part of this. But no, because when I first moved here, I was here maybe for like 2 months. And then I went to Puerto Rico, spent like Christmas and all that over there, and then got back January. And then you came.
I came in February.
Like February, yeah.
And then I think that second day I was here, we went to NADC. Had that.
You
had
liked
that
it? You fucked with
Honestly,
it?
Honestly, it was kind of mid, bro. I wasn't too impressed. You
know, I was, for the hype that it gets, I also thought the same.
Yeah. It was a good burger, but like it just not. I think it's the prices are beast.
That's what I was about to say. It's a good burger, but it's not an $18 burger. Yeah, that's 20, and then you have to tip too.
Yeah. Because they turn it over.
They turn it over and they stare at you. You can't really like, you know what I mean? And then you feel bad.
Mm-hmm. While they're making $25 an hour. But
are they?
Nah, I don't know.
I was about to say I'm in a wrong.
Probably like 21, 22. No, I would imagine so. Yeah, a place like that.
You're in the wrong business, bro. Yeah, put the fries in the bag, bro.
But so ended up linking up there. And then honestly, I was like, you know what? This dude ain't too bad. Like, I thought I'm good. It's a good thing he turned out like pretty decent after all those years. And so we ended up, I'm just fucking with you. But no, then I think the next thing was, I think we went to Barton Springs with Alan.
We went to Barton Springs with Alan.
Yeah.
And then Thundercloud, we did all that. That shit was dope. That shit was dope.
And then ever since then, bro, you just been
a leech.
Yeah. Took this dude's money.
No, but real shit. It's because it was cool because everybody has those friends where it's like, you don't need to chop it up with them.
Yeah.
You don't need to see, you know, like you see them and it's like, that's just the people.
I'm telling you, bro, you called me in New York. I'm almost positive you did. I dreamt that, but like, I'm sure you put me on, like I had you on FaceTime at some rooftop in New York.
I know exactly what I called you. I know exactly what I called you because I called like six people that night. Because I was, I got up on the DJ set. Behind the DJs and they was bringing the, I know exactly when. I remember I called Khalil too. That shit was funny.
So I look at me from back from middle school. that's exactly, and it was crazy because I literally had no idea what you
That been is crazy. On, bro. That is crazy because that's like a random. Damn, I did just want to flex on you one time, honestly. Yeah, so for fuck sure. Fuck the zoo.
Yeah.
Dude, that's actually funny. No, that actually did happen. Mm-hmm. That actually did. I know exactly when that happened.
Yeah, like, I have that tripping. Vivid. Because I don't remember it exactly, but like I knew you called because. There's no reason I would have that random ass memory of you calling me at some point.
No. It 100% happened. Okay. Like, yeah. As you mentioned that, I vividly replayed. Like, I had a That's So Raven moment.
Yeah. Where it went. Yeah. And then now we're here. We started a fucking business together. We damn near. We see each other very often. Dude, you've been out of town, like, hella.
I have been. I was, terrible timing, but yeah,
you were in Germany for what, 2 weeks for October, or like 10 days,
like 10 days for Oktoberfest. That shit was fun, bro. Yeah, you gotta be there for the next the next trip. October is, I like to travel in October. Like last year I did Colombia, that was pretty cool.
No, I've been wanting to go. You guys went to Medellin or
Bogota. Medellin's like, you tell people you're going to Medellin, it's a little obvious what you're about to go.
Okay.
Like, it's gotcha. There's nothing else to do. So, you know, we played a little more humble.
Yeah. No, I definitely want to take a trip soon, bro. That'd be nice. But
well, let's do. Are we still doing Vegas?
Vegas, yeah. You know what? I want to,
but you don't.
But then I've been hearing a lot of shit about Vegas that it's
like
chopped,
that it's like cooked. I know.
Don't get me wrong. I love Vegas. I've been like a bunch of times, and I always have a good time. But I'm just thinking, I'm like, could we go somewhere different? Like, maybe we travel out the country, you know? Like, that's not...
Should we go to DR?
We could go to DR. I want to go somewhere where, like, there's a beach, but also we can go to a city as well.
So, like, Thailand.
Thailand would be cool. I'm not going to lie. I looked at flights, and they were beasts.
They were beasts. 1,000?
More than 1,000? For that time of year, yeah. It's because it's around Christmas time, you know? But we can figure some shit out. But anyways, yeah, I mean, we're sitting here now, bro, and like, obviously we're best friends at the end of the day, but we also do like hella shit together, when it comes to like business, or at least like we're really trying to, and so the past, I would say, like, when did we first start like talking about it?
Beginning of summer, I feel like.
Yeah, like I would say maybe like April or... No, it was after.
February, March, April. It was like May. Like end of May, beginning June. We took the first trip out in June, right?
Yeah.
To Chihuahua. Yeah, so it was like May. Beginning May was like when you came with the idea. And it was like...
Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a little backstory. Because I'm sure like if you're watching this, you've probably seen like a lot of the stuff we've been releasing like on Instagram. But we're starting a spirit company. Specializing in sotol, which is a Mexican spirit, coming from northern Mexico, completely different from agave based spirits like tequila and mezcal. I would say that because it's a very common thing for people to be like, oh, I see you're doing tequila. Nice. Like, oh, I saw you starting the new tequila brand. I'm like, yo,
how can yeah, that, you know, that's like one of the things that, not that I hate, but it's like, how do we change?
Yeah.
But it feels almost at this point inevitable. Yeah. Like that's just the construction of, or how people construed it. Is that
what? Misconstrued?
Whatever. That. Yeah. Like, people, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But I know.
I was thinking about it a lot, but then I started also, like, how it does suck. But also a lot of that comes from people just don't know what spirits are. Like, people might classify tequila as, like, a bunch of things that aren't tequila, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, because it's just tequila, such a household name. But, like, so just for education purposes, there are different types of spirits or liquor that can be distilled from different plants or grains or whatever. And so from the specific spirit we're doing, which is sotol, is being distilled from a wild plant that grows in the desert. Called disalirian, but a lot of people, like in Mexico, it's a sotol plant. But anyways, it sounds a little bit random. You'd be like, yo, like why sotol, why this? But my family is from a place in Mexico, It's a small town called Goyame. Dude,
small.
Dude, like, small. When you think small, think even way smaller than that.
Yeah. I stood on a rock, and I was able to see the city from end to end, bro. Like, it was that small, no, bro. It was type crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Like, one gas station for the whole city.
Yeah.
One, like, little convenience store.
Yep. Exactly, bro.
No McDonald's, no burger, no nothing, bro. No Mickey D's, bro. No nothing.
Dude, not even the...
Nothing, bro.
So from there's small town in Goyame, which I visited a handful of times. And my grandparents are from this small town. But my family, we would take trips pretty regularly. Like, I would say at least once every couple years, I would say. My family has roots to this small town where the sotol has been being drank for the last...
Like hundreds of years, probably.
So it's a very old spirit. But the thing is, it hasn't been as mass commercialized and advertised because of a lot of the misconceptions behind it, and also the different processes and just a whole bunch of things. Like, it wasn't even legal until, I think, the early 2000s.
Yeah, really. It's 'cause from what I understand too, is like, it was like a moonshine type of feel to it. Like, it wasn't, they were waiting for somebody like us to come in.
Exactly. So you say that, and it's very true. Anybody, like, not anybody, but a lot of the people, including my family, that I tell that we're doing a sotol brand.
Oh, that's true.
They're automatically like, oh, sotol.
Like, it's because, yeah, fuck that. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
shit. It's because when they would try it, it would be super strong, and it would be like
two shots,
very stumbling, yeah, like, very harsh liquor. But because of the way it was made before, and also just... just the process they used, having those connections to Koyame, and one of my good family friends, his name's Enrique, he's been distilling in Koyame for the last 15 plus years, and so it was always, you know, when it first like this little idea had first came to mind, was in, I think, 2020, bro. Which is like a while back.
Oh, really? Like during COVID?
Yeah, because I heard about sotol around that time, because my dad would like bring bottles back, and that's what they would be drinking in Koyame. And I remember my dad mentioning that I don't know if it was my dad or my brother, but they had met Enrique out in Koyame, and they went on like a tour and stuff.
That's what your brother did.
Yeah,
the whole YouTube.
Exactly, thing. And he was like, "Yo," like he talked about that you're able to, like, if you work with me, like, we can create like a private label. And so that was way back in 2020. Damn. And so I was obviously, like, I was young, and like, I still wanted to do business, like, have my own businesses, but like, it wasn't something that I initially like took the initiative to do. But moved out here to Austin in February, and then I guess just being I got a job at Powder Room. I was a bar back. And just being around spirits and being up in the liquor cages where all the, like, hundreds of bottles of different types of liquors that we have. I think just being in that environment, I think just gears start to turn.
Like, yo, maybe.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Wait, let me tap in.
Exactly. Yeah. And also just hearing over the years, like, oh, sotol is being a lot more recognized as, like, a legit spirit, along with, like, mezcal and tequila. And, like, I think one day we were chopping it up, and it's not like I came up to you and, like, was like, yo, let's do this. I think I had mentioned it because we were talking about, like, because you had also mentioned that, I remember we were walking at the park, in the park one day, I feel like, and then you were talking how you were, like, obviously you're making good money, you're enjoying what you're doing, but at the same time, you do want to do something more.
Yeah, it goes back to that, like, it's that ever since from the army coming out, from how I mentioned earlier, it was like a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I felt like I lacked that, even though, like, I was, you know, chilling at the crib.
Yeah.
Working, doing my thing. But it was like,
it's because a man has to have a purpose, bro.
Yeah. Like something.
Yeah. Cause not to say, like, I would say, obviously, you're doing well. Like, you're doing amazing, bro.
I could be chilling.
Let's be honest, he makes more money than What percentage of, especially 25-year-olds, you're probably in the top 1%.
Okay. I'm broke.
This dude makes money. Anyways. So, like, at that, like, you're successful, especially in your career, and, like, you have a lot of shit. Like, you have your shit together, bro. You got your house in Florida. Like, you don't have to do this at all. But you also, like, from my point of view, you also said to yourself, you were kind of just chilling. Like, there wasn't anything. Because I feel like when we start talking, like, I was talking about, like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that.
And then I was like, damn, I just want to figure out what I'm going to eat later.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going out tonight.
I'm going to go, you know.
Yeah. No, exactly. And so, like, you're helping me, like, make content. Like, we're especially, like, on South by Southwest.
I had nothing to do. Yeah. The South by was a fun little
side
walk,
quest.
Walking around, shooting content. That was fun.
And so, yeah, I guess just having that and then. Knowing, I think, because we talk about you all the time, but I think I had mentioned that, and then that night we were at your apartment, like I mentioned that to you, and then you started, you went on ChatGPT just to kind of look up a little bit more.
That is true.
To kind of research and shit. And then I remember even getting like a little mock up of a bottle, and then Alan was kind of giving his 2 cents, and like, oh, you should call it this, that, and we're like, damn, that's a good idea.
That is true.
And so. Like, and even then, at that time, we were still up in the air. Yeah, like, so I started doing more research about it, and then I think me coming to you, like, all right, this is more so, like, this could be a good opportunity.
Yeah, that's when we went to that spot, no? Is that where?
Halcyon? The coffee shop?
The coffee shop, was it still before?
It was still before a little bit, but I think that was, like, the point where, like, are we going to do this shit?
In my mind, that's exactly when it started. Like, yeah, that day that we met up there and you were like, look, this is how we could really make this, could be the blueprint here. And, you know, we could start figuring it out from here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I remember leaving that one like, fuck yeah. Like this might be, let's just take a shot.
It was also scary too.
Bro,
I mean,
what?
It still is. Yeah.
That's scary as hell. Please buy a bottle. No, I'm just kidding.
For real.
But,
Yeah. And then so from there, I think we met up and then we immediately knew that we had to go out there and meet Enrique.
Cause
first of all, he only speaks Spanish, which you speak Spanish, so it's perfect. But like me, myself, I couldn't, like, it would be hard just communicating through the phone. Like, you want to meet people in person. And so.
No, for sure.
Even you were like hell bent on like, and I would agree, but you were like, yo, we need to go out there.
Yeah.
And so that's when I chopped it up with my dad. And then. Because you in life, I feel like you have these ideas, especially when it comes to business in your head, and then you get excited about it, and then once you really get down to the nitty gritty, there's a lot more challenges and obstacles that come into play that you wouldn't have foreseen.
It's like exactly what you just explained right there was how I felt when I first got into that house in Florida. Like, it was fun, but then there was challenges.
This is reality.
This is a real deal. But my bad.
You're good. And so as soon as we're like, yo, all right, fuck it, let's go out to Chihuahua. I hit on my dad and he's like, yo, shit's bad out there. It's like, and my dad goes to Mexico often and he hadn't been in months. And
him to say shit's bad, we probably can't comprehend
exactly
what he means.
And but, so we were like, oh shit. And so that's when I get on ChatGPT and there's travel advisories and shit like, yo, we probably shouldn't go out there. But then like, I think just talking amongst ourselves, we're like, yo, if we really want to do this, like we can't let that stop us. Yeah. And also talking to Enrique from someone who lives there, he was like, you guys will be good.
If you with me, you all right. Exactly. Yeah,
And so for the first trip, we didn't even go into the small town, Cuyame. We just went to the big city of Chihuahua.
That's the first video, too.
First video.
On the IG. Yeah. When we did that. That was
so
fun.
Yeah, we met with him in Chihuahua so that we can obviously just kind of know more about the business. Because even then, I don't even think we were...
We definitely wanted to do it, but we hadn't let it be known to anybody
that we were going to do it.
We went in there more on some like, you know, I got time to kill. I'm going to hear you out.
Exactly.
Let's see if this is something we should do or not. Yeah, exactly. So it was more so like not Enrique having to sell us on it, but we weren't sold yet. We weren't sold yet. That's how, even though internally we knew, yeah, we wanted to do this. The way we carried ourselves going out to that first one was like, exactly. We don't really need this right now.
Exactly.
Like, tell me, like, make us feel like we should do this.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, and it was exciting too. But like, going out there, we go into Chihuahua, and like, Indique said, he was like, "Yo, it is bad, but like he's not worried about it. Like, you know, we'll be, especially going into Chihuahua. Like, we'll be good. We'll out be there.
Chilling, especially where we stayed at.
Was, yeah, exactly. You know, smooth. Yeah, so we drove from here to El Paso. We stayed the night. And then we went to
8 hours with this guy in the car. Oh, trust my me,
God. Yeah.
Don't want to do that.
Dude, I didn't have AC that, or no.
No, that was the second trip. That was the second trip. The second trip was when the AC started.
Thankfully, it started working again, but like, I had to figure that shit out.
See, when this blows up and we do the documentary, the car that we're driving is going to be like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm going to say we didn't have AC for those two trips.
We lost weight on the way there. Exactly. Like, we came back slimmer.
Yeah. But yeah, so the first trip, we go to Chihuahua, and honestly, it wasn't as, as soon as we got there and I saw her where we were staying, we were like, this is cool.
Like, yeah, like, it's not as bad as,
We were cracking open beers at happy hour. Like,
yeah.
So actually, let's take them through that first, because it's actually funny as hell.
The first day?
So we get there in the morning, and we had went out the night before.
We went out the night before. And which is a
terrible mistake.
That's what you call growing pains.
Exactly.
We're figuring it out. Now we know. We got a business trip. Get some sleep. That was lesson one. Yep. That was lesson one that was learned.
So we go to bed at probably 2. We wake up at like 6 to leave. We get to Chihuahua at like 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
We check in. We meet Enrique for breakfast.
Enrique was there, yeah.
We meet Enrique for breakfast. And then directly from there, we go and we drink about a bottle of Sotol. Like, probably, we probably kill at least a bottle, but like, because we go to his lab in Chihuahua, and this is where he has, he has all different types of Sotol
flavors. All, like, it was where he bottles
exactly
the product, so he had a lot of different stuff he's been working on, crazy stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, just for context, it's all Sotol, but like, for example, some of them he infused with like tamarindo or pineapple.
Yeah,
or
just like crazy stuff.
Exactly.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
It would be cool if during that part you could like edit maybe something like a video overlapping.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of exactly.
That.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick.
And so, yeah, we're in this lab and he's bringing out bottles of like
shots. We're just taking shots. Yeah. Honestly, that day was just taking, like, trying it and also like getting. Cause that was, I don't know about you, but that was my first time getting fucked up off of it. Really, like enjoying the Jesus, not to sound like a, you know, but enjoying the drunk the buzz that it gave
for sure. You
know, enjoying like realizing, because it is a little different. It's not like the same.
Yeah,
you know.
But some, I'm not, to be full honest, someone we were trying, we were like, oh
shit, dude. Yeah, bro.
Like some of them were 70%. Some of them were like 65%. But yeah. That was kind of overwhelming at times because we were literally just like one after another, boom, boom, boom,
just trying it,
and we were just, and we were sober, completely sober, and like you're just trying straight up, like
you're on like
liquor,
4 hours
dude.
Of sleep,
yeah,
and you're trying, yeah, all this different,
and so like we're buzzing after that, and then from there, because so with this, we're trying to understand what we like about these different
souls. That first trip was exactly that. It was to like, one, see if we're gonna get into this, but since deep down we knew we were, it was really to see, okay, what can we find something that we like here and have this be that we work off of this.
Exactly.
You know? But the problem with that, trial and error. So you gotta try them all.
Yeah.
All to see what.
Exactly.
Which really, now that I think about it, like by the like the 20th cup and like the 10th, 15th shot, they all tasted the same. They all going down the same. Yeah.
No, facts. Yeah, and so we try a bunch of the Sotol. We're fucked up, but then
we find the one though that we were like, because I remember
the Wellery.
I remember looking at you like, yo, remember that one?
Yeah.
Like
that one. That one stood out for sure. And so we do that, and then we go look at glassware. So we're choosing our glassware that we want. Some of the bottle we ended up going, we chose one bottle, but then we ended up seeing a second bottle at another spot that we liked a lot more. And so because of the quality, because
that was the second time we went, right?
No,
we went to the new lab the second time, because didn't we buy one?
No, it was the same trip.
It was the same trip.
It was the same trip. Yeah. But yeah, so we went to go look at glassware, and then we ended up having like a carne asada at Enrique's spot, where we were mixing the mixing different sotols with different mixers, and that I will always remember that moment, because I think everything hit us
bad
at
bro.
That time.
Dude, oh my god, we looked like the absolute softest two businessmen ever step foot, especially I feel like in Mexico too, where you know you gotta be a little bit more like
100%
kind of gritty, you know.
Yeah,
we went mute, bro. We went non-verbal, like to end the day. Like we had to basically shout out your dad, dude. Yeah. He really like just kept us afloat.
Carried it,
because it was just a lot. I'm fucked up. I'm now like, because then that's when we started talking the like
different brands,
the devil's in the details.
Yeah,
like that's when like, okay, pricing, how this would work, what we need to do, we gotta get this labels, this, gotta register it in Mexico. It was just left, right, like
speaking of got, that shit, dude, the fucking the
government shutdown. I know, bro. Dude, when I read that, my heart dropped, bro. Yeah,
that can't be much longer though.
Dude, and that,
there's no way they're going to, the government's going to be shut down for like an extended period of time like that.
Who knows, bro?
That's ass, dude. Anyways, just context, we are trying to get our labels approved so we can actually sell this shit. And the government shut down, bro. So like the agency that approves labels is literally not approving labels right now.
Because I shut down.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I got paid, bro.
Yeah. And so we got a, that's another little hoop we have to jump through.
Another part of the Netflix series in 50 years that will exaggerate and say it was the biggest challenge
ever.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we overcame it. But, you know.
But yeah, dude, so that, going back to that time where like that first trip, we had a moment where like everything hit us. Mm-hmm. And that first night, it was actually like, honestly, a lot of it was like, I think we were just exhausted from all the overstimulation.
1,000%. I do remember though, leaving that day when I was in the, when we left with your dad in the truck, you were in the front, I was in the
back.
He
even called us out. He was like, yo, you guys are quiet. Like, what's going through your head?
And I remember not feeling too good about it. Remember
me neither.
I remember not feeling good at all. I remember, I think I said it, like, maybe not as direct, but I brought it up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And then, I don't know. Then we went back the second day, though.
Slept for like 12 hours that night.
Racked out, bro. Racked out. I remember, because I called a friend. And I remember being on the phone with a friend and just telling her, like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling. Like, I do remember that first day just with it. But again, it was probably just fucked up.
Yeah.
So much shit got thrown at us.
I think we probably had some THC sotol too, which probably...
I had a whole cup. So yeah. I was in my head a lot. Like, I do remember that. Like, being like, damn, like this shit. Especially because I think it's interesting because I think you come from a family like where businesses, owning businesses is a thing. But like, from someone like me, I've never had anyone own nothing. So to... growing up, owning a business is similar to like going to school.
Yeah.
Has always felt daunting. Like it has always felt like that's not for somebody like me. So to then hear like think in your mind, get hype, let's go to Chihuahua. Oh my God, we gotta make the and then you hear everything.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Is this not like that feeling I think started creeping.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when I look back on that day, that's like that car ride specifically when we went back and you know, I was bringing up like, I don't know, like this doesn't, you know, it was really that feeling that started really creeping in. Like maybe this just isn't for somebody like me right now.
Yeah.
Like this is just,
and I remember my pops, like being like, he was like, yo,
like this is what
this
it is.
A, this is a
yeah,
risk.
Yeah, no.
And business
that,
is a risk.
That conversation stuck with me too. Yeah. He basically was like, stop bitching.
Yeah.
Like this is what's going
to
happen.
You don't have to do it, but if you're going to do it, this is it.
And if you don't do it, somebody will. Yeah. Somebody will take that risk. That's 100%. That conversation with your father stuck with me, actually. Like, I was like, fuck, he's actually kind of right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it helped with that feeling, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, it's. And so, next day, we kind of put a lot in perspective. And then that's when we went to like an actual bar, and we were seeing all different types of sotols.
That was cool, too.
The actual ones that are a lot more, they're already commercialized and they're popular.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried them. We were like, dude, this shit's not even that good, man.
Compared to what we had. And it wasn't obviously like, you know, people might hear this and be like, well, yeah, that's their fucking product. Of course, they're, you know, going to say that. But no, it genuinely, it was like something completely, it just tasted differently from what was getting pushed out there.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So we do that. And then we end up coming back. And I think from that point on, I'm trying to think how we felt after that. I think we were pretty damn, like, pretty hype, bro. I think we were like, yo, we like, we can make this shit work.
Like, from there, we were like, all right, what's the next step? What do we do now? And then, because I think we came back, and that's when I left to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
When I left for like, a couple weeks that I already had planned before, like, all this stuff. But, because I remember the first, like, initial payment, I was in the airport on my flight back home. When it was like, all right, this is now, it's go time now, like, it's serious.
Yeah, you know? Oh, before, we hadn't even signed the contract. Mm-mm. We were like, we were actually contemplating, like, all right, we need to make sure all this shit is right.
Yeah.
And then we signed the contract for, it's not like we left Chihuahua signing the contract.
No,
we hadn't signed anything.
We took it with us. Like, we had to see, talk about how we felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we do that, and then I think... From then on, we knew that we had to go back.
100%. Because we would, once we left that there and we were like, all right, like, we're going to try this. We're going to go all in on this. Fucking, that's when we knew, well, we got to make a trip back to try the product, to go visit the actual site, get all that content that we filmed out there.
Yeah. And so through that month, like, from that first trip until in between the second trip, for me, it was a lot of like, all right. Because I'm a bartender, it was kind of the onus was on me to figure out, like, all right, what product do we want to put out that is gonna be that we want to represent, you know, and that's gonna be more. Yeah, it was really just doing a lot of research that month of like, all right, I think this will, like, the way this tastes is gonna be the most appealing to. Who we want our customer to be. And so through that, I was like, all right, first of all, we, like, especially people, the way we drink, like, I like taking shots
more.
And so, like, and people like to drink healthy shit now. Like, they don't like super sugary drinks,
especially here
in Austin. I was thinking about that. I was also thinking about people don't like super harsh spirits either. Like, people, especially, like, I mean, certain drinkers do. Obviously, there's connoisseurs and stuff, but we want something smooth. We want something that can be versatile and mixed in cocktails, because just from a sheer volume perspective, we're going to be putting out, like, more product.
See, and so the way you explained it is like the industry side of it.
Yes.
The way I would say that is, I just want to get a mixed drink that tastes good.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I don't want, like, the way, like, How you said, like, some people want cocktails, some people want a drink. I feel like the way I was seeing it was like, yo, if I order this at fucking, you know, Hotel Vegas or something, like, it's like, yo, I could get, like, a ranch water with this and be chilling and, you know, and have a good night. Like, no, you know?
Exactly.
So,
And but those are two good perspectives, because you need to have that balance.
It's like, it's a great balance of, like... My bad to cut you off.
But if I were to look at it just from a bartender's, like, connoisseur perspective, you knock out a whole, like, mass, or like a certain portion of the market. Like, you need to look at it as from, like, what do just a regular person.
When we go out, do we do exactly? So basically, I am for the people.
Mm.
Basically.
I guess you can say that.
For myself. Ah, just kidding.
No, but that no, you but, definitely provided that perspective. Yeah. And I just wanted to, for me, honestly, I just wanted the product to be quality and like really well done.
Yeah.
So that we can market it as like, yo, this product is clean, it's sustainable, mm-hmm. it tastes amazing. Yeah. And so with that, I told Anika, I was like, yo, like, I trust you.
I know, which was kind of ballsy too.
Yeah, I was like, I trust you. This is what I want. Like, I don't want to be flavored. I don't want it to be like no additives, nothing. I want it to be the purest form.
That's what.
But also, like, just what you think will be good. I trust you. And so, from there, we sent the first payment. They went to harvest all our plants.
Yeah, immediately. That's so far.
And so we go out maybe 2 weeks after. And then this is where, like, so we actually going into the small town this time. And so we actually, because of that, all right, just for context, we know now that shit is really bad right now. Like, it's, we obviously heard that the cartel activity and everything was present, but we didn't know to what extent. And so my dad kept telling us, like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with us going into that area because right now rival cartels are fighting over that territory, which is why it's really bad. Because in Chihuahua, like, it's a bigger city. There's not much going down. But in this small, like, remote area,
dude,
it's like a battlefield.
It's lawless, bro.
Exactly. And so hearing my dad's perspective, we were like, oh, shit, we probably shouldn't go. And then we talked to Enrique.
And he did the same thing. He was like, if you were me, you all right. Yep. Don't worry about nothing. You know, which was still kind of like,
yeah,
this dude, like, because in my mind, I'm like, yo, this dude just needs a belt. He's trying to get his bag, you know, which I don't blame him. He's trying to get his money. But it's like, is it bad? Is it safe?
And then I think we both agreed. We're like, yo, if we're gonna do this, like, we gotta go. Like, if we're gonna be sourcing our stuff from this location, and we want to,
how can we not be there? Yeah, exactly, 100%.
You're telling me we're gonna pussy out on going to where our distillery is?
And like we exactly 100%. No.
Is our people. Nah, just kidding.
but to a certain point, bro. Like, if it's something, this is where, like how you said, this is where our product's coming from. This is what we're representing. Like, how can we not?
It's not safe.
How can we not see the process? How can we not, you know, which is another thing I like. We're part of the first batch.
Bro, what?
Like, that first batch was.
My sweat is in the goddamn bottles. Yeah. You kidding me?
Not mine, because, you know, I'm directing everything. just play it.
But yeah, dude, so we made the executive decision to go out there, and my dad, he supported our decision fully,
but he stayed.
Oh yeah,
his old man stayed. Yeah, which is
so,
like,
he drove us to Chihuahua, and then we got picked up by Enrique,
and his little brother Mike. Brother. Shout out Mike.
Yeah, we went in a little, like, pretty. How do I say it? Pretty low key SUV.
Yeah, very low key. Very.
And we could talk about it now, bro. But like, I don't think it's hard for the audience to really understand because they weren't there. But like, it was a sketch ass trip, bro. Like, I was sketched out.
I know.
He was a little bit better, but I know for, especially the first day when on our way there, I was sketched the fuck out. Cause like, I've been to Koyame before.
But you never seen it like that.
And it was not
right?
Like that, dude.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
I don't think we should get into details.
Obviously not. No.
But it was bad. Serious? But it was honestly, we talk about it all the time. Like, that was such a good experience. Like, I actually want to go back to Koyame.
And the thing is, there's no service out there either. Like, we was off the grid for those
literally,
2 days.
Bro.
Like, not, you know?
Nothing. And so, like, literally, all right, we're helping. First of all, my brother came too, and he's helping us
Shout
get
out Javi.
All this content, bro.
The second video that we put out, everything in there was Javi recorded down here, right?
Exactly. And so my brother goes out there with us, and it's like we're filming some Netflix documentary out there. It was pretty badass.
It was sick. It was cool. Yeah. It was.
And so we're making the sotol, but there's really not much, like, besides harvesting the plant, which we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the actual process of it. It's not super time consuming. There is a lot of sit down and wait areas. So through that time, like, we were literally just chopping it up for hours, bro, like drinking,
literally. It was basically eating, like an all day campfire while we're waiting. So we just drink, chop it up, grilling. We had the little
comal.
Yeah
So we're just doing that, cool, getting to know more about Enrique and his brother, and just talking about the future business and just chopping it up. And that was like some of the best. I'll always remember that
for
that
sure
trip. That shit was awesome
for sure, because it was cool, because I felt like we also got to, I feel like Enrique got to see the potential in this too. From leaving, like by the time that trip ended, I feel like he was like, fuck, like these dudes could really change shit around here, like they could, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of how he, because I felt like the not really, I want to say shifted, but like the relation, like the partnership relationship changed, like elevated a little, a little closer after that trip, where it was like,
as opposed to partner,
it was as opposed to customer.
Yes.
It was more like, you know what, fuck it, like I see this could work.
Yeah.
Let me be a part of this to help.
Yes.
Work. I'm not just gonna give you the product like how we, because we left out that we went the day
to another distillery.
The day that we were drinking all those soto, we left that out. We went to another spot, and the dude was, you know, because he got it all. Like, it was almost like seeing the way
a corporate.
There you go. Like a corporate way of how the soto business is ran.
Yeah.
It was like seeing that, but because of that, the guy was letting his nuts hang with us. He was, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, oh, I'll give you the product. You figure the rest out. Mm-hmm. Versus with Enrique, after that weekend, it felt like, you know what, fuck it. Let's.
Yo, I know some, I'm going to put you on with this dude.
I'm going to take care of this. Yeah. Let's include this in the contract.
Staying at his house.
Staying at the crib.
We're getting fucked up with him. It
shifted that that partnership that we had with 100%. Enrique, where now it feels like really he's also like just as much as a part of this, just, you know, on the lower side.
100%. Yeah. And so there was another like very pivotal moment where it's like when the sotol is done, it's like 11 o'clock at night and we're leaving the next morning and we're smelling it and tasting it. And at this point, it's at like 65 or 70%.
It was beast still. It was beast.
And so the reason we're trying it at that is because you can really smell and taste like what it actually tastes like.
Yeah.
And so it was like a long ass conversation of like, is this what we want to put out?
Because I remember those first few sips, we looked at each other like, what's missing here, what's you know, like we knew something, it wasn't the final form, but it just sucked because we was like, fuck, we gotta get out of here by tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are we gonna run another distill, you know?
Well, like from my perspective, it's not so much that there was something missing. It was more so like, how do I know if this is it? If this is what's gonna, cause dude, like we're building our whole brand and product. Like this is our business.
Yeah.
That this is what we're gonna hopefully sell to thousands of people. And so like, is this capable of being that product?
And so
I started kind of going through the checklist in my head. I was like, well, is this then what the natural plant tastes like? Was the process sustainable and efficient? And does it not taste like shit? not like that, but like I went through all those checklists and I was like, if this is it, then like what else would we change? You know, so this is like, this has to be it.
Because then after that, we ran it one more time, no?
We did run it one more time. And so, ended up having like the same profile, but it was smoother at that time. But we ended up, and it's like, we're looking at it now, and it's, the product is something we're very happy about, and something I know for sure does not exist.
No, hell no.
And so,
dude, even from just like the, because it sucks, because I know somebody watching this is just going to be like, yo, of course they're going to be saying this because, you know, it's their shit. But I remember, like, because there's been moments throughout where there's, like, highs and lows with this. It's, like, I'm feeling good one day, and then the next I'm like, yo, what did Diego make me do? What is it, you know? But when we took it to our boy, I'm blanking on his
Dragon?
Name. Dragon.
Yeah.
When we took it to our boy Dragon.
Shout out Dragon from Paper Cut.
From Paper Cut. when we took it to him and his boy, and they were genuinely like, what the fuck? Who?
Yeah.
It was so crazy. They asked us who made it. Yeah. Like, who's the distiller? Like, who's, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love that moment because, honestly, that day was, like, up and down. I felt going to Paper Cut, bro, honestly. I did not feel good.
No, that whole week I've been kind of, like, not just anxious. Like, fuck. Like,
because just heads up, we've been getting dodged by...
Oh, bro, this shit is distributors, not been, yeah, bro. Like, it's not
that's
been,
a dude, we can have a whole another conversation
just,
about
just
that.
On the distribution side of things, bro. Yeah.
So that's just another thing we're still overcoming is, like, yo, we need to distribute this. Like, we can't take this product and just start selling it. Like, there's a middleman in the Texas, in really every state, but we have to have a distributor to be able to distribute it across to retailers.
Basically, everybody needs their cut.
Exactly. Bro. And so... that's something as a new company and a new spirit is like the hardest thing we've had to overcome.
Growing pains. Yeah. Growing pains again. Yeah. Yeah.
And so where we're at right now is like, we know our product's good. We know people like it and we know the content or the, where our brand is going to head and we know it's so correct.
I'm so hyped.
We know we're doing the right way. It's just a matter of, all right, we need one more person to buy into the vision.
Yeah, we're just missing one piece.
So that we can get the shit popping.
Get
really,
the shit going. Yeah. And the thing is, once it gets going,
yeah,
that's, you know.
I'm excited. However, dude, it's going to be a roller coaster, bro. I already know because it's like, it more so just because it's so new to us.
100%, bro. It's, but yeah, but the interesting thing is, throughout, like, my life, I guess, because I've mentioned this throughout this podcast, the whole thing about, like, things feeling daunting.
Yeah.
But, like, this doesn't feel, it feels obtainable.
Yeah.
It feels like we see exactly, you know why? Why.
Because we're in it. Mm. And remember I kept telling you, I was like, yo, like, it feels like this because we're thinking about it. Yeah. And, like, once we're in it and we're doing it, it's like, all right, we're already in it. We got to make it work. And it's like, I feel like that goes with anything. Like, that's what anxiety is. Like, you're just kind of thinking about the possibilities. But once you take action, it's like you have no, you can't really think about shit anymore. It's like you're in the mix and you gotta make shit shake now.
That's true.
Because if you don't, what's the other option if you don't, you know?
Damn.
And so.
Damn, if only, because the thing is, we have been making shit shake, man. Like, it's been an interesting.
We've met so many crazy people now.
Exactly, like, bro. Exactly.
And that's why it's exciting, and that's why it's like it's also frustrating too, because it's like I know we got what it takes. I'm just gonna change the battery really quick. But yeah, so what's next for us?
Right now,
the distributor.
Because the thing is, we have the bars where we already know we'll be at.
Like, well, the labels now.
Well, the labels now. Yeah, the labels. Okay, so yeah, shorter term goal. The labels.
That's all I'm saying. As soon as the labels get approved, we have to go to Chihuahua
to see it. Because, sure.
Like, I want to do it to where we're printing out, like, just single ones so we can do side by side. Like, yo, if I need to change the design slightly so that it looks better, because we only see the print. Like, I don't want to print 600 labels, bro, and then all we get the bottles and they're like, we don't.
Yeah, like the fucking. Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, I might need to switch some shit up on the design to make it look better.
Honestly,
you know?
Yeah, no, we have to be out there, bro.
And so that's why we need to be there to do that. And then, honestly, I think I see Steven really helping us, but I know, especially right now, because I know 1925 is popping off too. He's probably just like, yo, I can't, like LNF said, like, they can't pick up shit right now.
Yeah.
We just got to keep hitting him up. Because if we can go and meet him, like, next week, even, like, that shit. I mean, when do you get back? Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to call. It's just he didn't fucking respond to my calls or texts. So, but we know we have the LNF opportunity, too. We just got to.
Just got to lock in with that.
Fucking.
But. I don't know. I'm confident.
Because we already have proof of concept.
Exactly. We know it could work.
Yeah.
Oh, we know it could work.
At first, we were looking, all right, we're probably going to launch in fall.
Yeah, but that's when we didn't know shit. Yeah. We're thinking we're going to be lit by October. Yeah. We're going to be, you know, throwing shit, going crazy. It don't work like that.
Yeah. Man. So realistically, our official launch where we'll be available like in the Austin, Texas.
What do you think? Because I have a month in mind. What month is your realistic?
I'm gonna say February, but March would be smart because of South by.
That's what I was thinking.
Because we can talk now to places and be like, yo, let's host something.
And even if we,
because a lot of different companies launch at that time, and so. Damn, that'd be lit. South by launch.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, we know a lot of our people will be out here too. Exactly. Like, they come, you know?
So a little cool. South by launch. Cool. And we can sponsor different shit.
From the shit. Yeah. Exactly.
But I also think we can have a pre-launch in December if all goes well.
Like a just private.
Like a private tasting part. Even a private party.
Which will be dope.
Oh, dude, that'd be cool. Imagine like maybe a little bit slightly chilly night on a rooftop with like some heaters, like the one that we're about to be at in Rainy.
Oh,
Sky House.
Sky House on that rooftop, river view.
Invite people from the apartment, you know.
Yeah. Invite, you know.
But yeah, dude, exactly. So like we have a little private party. That way people try it and they know what to expect, and we get the content from it as well.
Yeah.
That way by March we kind of already
get some buzz going.
Yeah, dude, but nah, I'm confident, dude. We need a few more pieces to come together. But shit, bro, we're doing it.
And they will.
Yeah.
Just with time, but it's cool. This whole thing has been like, even if it doesn't work out, and even if God forbid, but it will.
Yeah.
Right. At the very least, though, it, like the amount of knowledge from the last 6 months.
Yeah.
In terms of just jumping into something you don't really know much of, and just trying to make shit shake, and you realize you really can do anything.
Yeah,
you really can see in, especially because, you know, it's no secret a lot of the legwork you've been putting in, like meeting people, the connections you made and stuff. But being able to see it, like actually,
in front of,
see that it's possible to make shit shake. Like it actually is obtainable. It's like, I don't know. I feel like just from that alone, I've gained, I don't know, some type of wit, knowledge. It's gonna help me at some point in my life.
Yeah,
you know.
Also, we have to define like what working is. Like from my perspective, like obviously businesses fail all the time, but it's like I know that if we stick to like what our vision is, like we know our product's good. And no, so that's the thing.
We know people don't know, but they will know eventually. But people will know that like every piece that is needed for something that we're doing, we have it around. We're just missing, you know, a couple. But in terms of like everything that we can provide,
and
that we can bring to a product, that we could bring to a brand, we have it.
Yeah,
like we just do. That's just it's just a matter of
executing.
Yeah.
But which we already proved we can do, you know. No, it's exciting because, like I said, like we both met some like really dope people just throughout the experience, and so
just having
that and it's done a lot, bro. And just to say that like, oh, we have our own spirit in general is like actually insane, and especially like if we really. If it goes at where we know it can go, then like, dude, like I always say, it's not just, we're just thinking Austin and El Paso right now, bro. Like
we can't fathom.
There's there's markets all over the world that we can tap into.
Can you imagine we're in Miami?
Bro, in Europe. So it's like, yeah, we just gotta keep going and don't get distracted all the time by
don't get distracted.
All the drinks and girls and, you know, that might be our downfall.
That's why you need to get married already.
No,
that's why
you need to get married. Yes,
I am. I am actually. That's just playing.
I think, I was going to ask you, this is kind of a side note, but why is it every girl that knows or I tell that I have a podcast, they're like, oh my fucking gosh.
Because they probably think you're here asking like gay son or thought daughter, what are you, you know, they probably think.
Like Andrew Tate
shit? Yeah, not even that, like just more like, bro, like I feel like there's like a stigma. With people that got a podcast, I probably just say some dumb shit. Like they don't really
see, and have that's what that I've been shit told.
With like substance, like there's no.
Yeah.
There's no. Yeah, I don't know. There's like a stigma with it. You have a podcast, you're probably talking about how many times you beat it one day, and if you smoke weed, you know what I mean.
That makes sense. Cause yeah, it's a common thing. Every time a girl knows I have a podcast, it's like yeah.
Damn, but you're still back, which is like.
Oh, do I?
I feel like if. I don't know. I feel like if anybody else were to say it, that probably would. That probably would end it for them. But that just is a testament, I guess.
Well, also I say like every girl I talk to that I say, I'm like, go watch an episode and like, just.
Once I see you.
Yeah. Because don't get me wrong, there's episodes where like I fuck around, we fuck around, but most of the time really? I like to think it's for the most part, it's very like we talk about things of substance, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
What do you feel like the dating market is here like in Austin?
In Austin? Oh, yeah. What do I feel like the dating market is here?
You're cleaning house here.
No. Hold up, man. We got an image to uphold.
You're right.
Dating scene in Austin, it's been good. Mm-hmm. It's treated me nice.
Yeah.
You know, you live and you learn.
Okay, well, in details, like what do you think about it? Like about the girls you met, about... You know,
honestly,
is it like everywhere else?
No, not like. Honestly, the more that I've been here and just meeting people, like not necessarily just women in a relationship, but just meeting people, I feel like I've met a lot of genuine people out here.
Yeah,
that are just genuinely themselves, and they're not afraid to be themselves. They don't need to, be performative or be like a. I don't know, like...
Did you see a lot of that in L.A.?
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
All the time.
New York?
There, New York... No, New York, it was just you had to be that guy. You can't really, like... You gotta be a man.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, like, you can't... You just have to be... You have to be real. You have to be honest. Like, not honest. That's not the right word, because that's not like you're lying ever. But it's like, you just have to be
authentic.
Because
people, have to be, I feel like New Yorkers would see through that shit.
100%.
Yeah,
and they won't. And the thing is, they'll call you out on it. So, I don't know.
You're a fraud.
Yeah, but here it's been the dating scene's been good. I mean, I'm not really dating too many.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going out on too many dates.
From my perspective, hookup culture is huge here.
Here, you think so?
Yeah,
I think it's just you.
Nah.
I think it's just you.
Just me?
Damn.
I'm lying. I think, don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure, like, you can...
It is, no,
you
it
can
is,
obviously
it
have is. A girlfriend here, but it's just, like, everybody's so young.
And it's like... Yeah, everyone's young, hot, fit, fucking horny.
Yeah, so I just feel like it's such a common thing to...
No, it is. I was, like, honestly, I was bullshitting.
Yeah.
Fucking.
We're actually all moving in together in, like, 50 days, bro. That's crazy.
Which is crazy. Which, again, for the Netflix... Like series,
yeah.
Oh, we were so down bad. We had to move in.
Yeah, we didn't live in a fucking high rise in downtown Austin.
Oh, we lived in where do we live at? Fucking, it's because I don't even know like the.
We lived in fucking
the harsh neighborhoods.
North Lamar.
Yeah, we lived in North Lamar. We were in Georgetown, middle of nowhere, up there with Dez.
Shout out Dez.
But that is about to be a new chapter in life, but it'll be good too for the business, bro. I feel like we'll stay kind of on our ass.
Or it'd be terrible. We'll be outside all day on a rainy street.
You know,
I'm so excited for rainy though. It's going to be nice.
That is going to be nice. I am. Are you worried? Like if it does, how do I word this question? Like when this picks up a little bit more and like do you think well no because you know you think about Hennessy and you don't really even know who the like owners of that are right, but do you think like the like public attention on you will affect you a little bit or no not really
No.
Because you think the way that we're doing this is a little different than these other guys, right? So, like, our faces. Maybe yours more than mine, because I do like taking the backseat a lot more, but...
Like, is having more attention from the public eye going to fuck with me?
Yeah. Like, what if it gets to a point, like, where you're known here as, like...
In Austin?
Yeah. As, like...
Oh, man, I am. Nah, just kidding. No,
Like, that doesn't ever... You don't ever stop...
I'm not afraid of it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know why I am.
Yeah.
I don't know why I am. Or not afraid of it. I don't think that's the right word. But I do feel like it will affect my... I don't know, my day-to-day a little
bit. Yeah, your ego's going to go through the roof.
Through the roof, maybe. Yeah, or it's
already through the roof.
Or, like, maybe, maybe night outs won't be the same.
You're right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe shit changes. Like, people, you meet new people and they don't really like you for you. They like you for...
No, that's a real
thing. Like, those things are saying, like, you don't think those things would...
But then again, like, I think about it now and, like... Yeah, I meet new people a lot of the time, but even now, like, I don't really have new friends like that, bro. Like, I've kept pretty much, like, even though, like, I have new friends that I can, like, link up with and, like, chill with, people that are actually, like, I genuinely...
Like, a part of this.
Exactly. I have really been the same. Like, it's not much different, bro. Like, and so with that, it's just, I think you just have to be a lot, you have to know yourself more than ever at that point, you know? And I'm kind of already, like, already aware of that. I mean, it's not like I'm fucking well-known. I'm not. But I'm just, like, I already know that I need to, like, for example, I told you, like, I want to be more to myself, like, here now, because I feel like I've just been constantly around so many people all the time. And it's, like, it's cool, but it's, I feel like, especially for me, I need time alone. Like, just by myself.
Yeah,
like
on some recharge.
Exactly.
Like, I always say I have, like, a social battery.
Yeah.
And that shit, something, if it gets too low, I got to chill out.
For sure. I don't even, and some people might take it the wrong way, because, like, sometimes, like, I really won't get back to people. But it's, like, when I'm out of work, or even if it's my day off and I have time to talk, I'm like, bro, I'm so cooked. Like, it's not even, like, I fuck with you, bro, but. I'm not trying to hop on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you just need to keep your energy in, you know?
Yeah. I keep it. I get you.
Close. We're going to continue to do what we're doing. And there's going to be a lot of shit that changes here soon, including us moving in together.
Yeah.
The business, trying to get the distributor. But it's exciting, bro. I'm excited as fuck.
I am too. I no longer have... Obviously, there's always going to be some type of fear involved, but it's not as hot. It's a different, I don't know, it's a different feeling now. Like, it feels, I'm also, like, proud of what we got. Like, I'm not afraid to tell people about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not afraid to just put it out there. As opposed to maybe, like, other moments in life where maybe what I was doing or whatever wasn't really, like, something I want to, you know, like, people don't need to know, I guess. This is the first time I feel like ever I have something that I'm proud to say, like, tell people I'm working on. And
for sure.
Seeing the, like, especially, like, family, like, talking to some family members and then, like, just telling them, seeing the excitement in their face. Like, you know, like, oh, shit, like, this dude's.
Yeah, your people actually, like, from what I've seen, especially on the Instagram, like, they seem, like, really fucking hyped.
Dumb hype, bro. It's like, which is cool to see that. It's cool because it's like, it's almost like going back to that, like a sense of purpose. It's like, I'm doing this for people that, you know, care about me.
I thought he was just a bum ass motherfucker and he's doing big things, you know? Because I'm genuinely curious from your perspective, knowing me and then kind of like somewhat knowing what the platform is like. Well, what's advice you would give me for going forward with MVP? Because obviously, like, I did a lot of, like, I'm on episode 77, but I have taken a break. But it's just, like, I'm, like I said, because I've told you why I did, but I really do want to start it up again. You think I'm just in my head about it too much?
100%.
Yeah.
I think you should, honestly, I think you should have more solo podcasts. Like, you should just kind of let your own thoughts and... stuff be put out, like, you know, people is cool, obviously, because you get to bounce back ideas, but I think you need a more of a balance, because at the end of the day, this is your shit, so people are interested to hear what you got to say. And
yeah.
Yeah, like different guests maybe bring different ideas out of you, but I don't know. I see it as like this is your thing and people gravitate towards you, really. Mm. Like, so I think like maybe more just episodes with you in it and, you know, just. Because also it probably feels a little different when it's just you two. You're not afraid to just, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
There's certain things with certain people you just don't say or don't get into really. But when it's just you, maybe you're able to express yourself more.
Yeah.
You feel maybe it could create more of a safe space to express yourself more freely. So and because of that, maybe you might feel a little bit better of what you're putting out.
Yeah.
Maybe how now, I don't know how you would go about that, right?
Yeah. Well, I've done solo episodes and I actually really love them.
Really?
I fuck with them a lot.
Would you say you fuck with some more than when you've had like some guests?
It depends. Like, and it's no hate on the guests. Cause I love every single guest had on.
But have you,
there's some podcasts where I'm like, I feel like that could have been better. Like, there's some of them where I'm genuinely not super excited for.
Like to put out.
Mm. Or even myself, when I watch them, it's like I know when it's a good podcast. Or in my eyes, it's a good podcast.
Like Paul, you knew
Paul was amazing. Was
a banger, like, yeah. Off rip. Yeah.
But then again, it's just like Paul has so much wisdom. Yeah. And like those are the podcasts.
That's the thing, yeah.
I love the podcast where like I'm literally just asking stuff based off of like
what my curiosity and know,
what I want to know.
See,
you're
just getting people like me, Surge, up in.
Shout out Surge. The reason why I'm kind of in my head about it too is like, because I do enjoy the solo pods, but I'm like, what can I share that will provide value if I'm still like not where I want to be, you know?
You know, and because you've been, even before the Sotol shit, you've been asking me to get on here. Like, yes. you've been like, yo, I feel like it'll be fire. But that, what you just explained, for some reason, that's how I've always felt too. It's like, what the fuck? Like, what am I going to tell?
Yeah. But so, I was looking at it like, you may think that, but also with these podcasts, especially with my homies.
Mm-hmm.
Our conversations are just deep enough and like they're very interesting because of our chemistry that people, because a podcast, like some people listen to podcasts to hear conversations, like not just to hear what someone has to say to them specifically. You
like
know?
They just.
Yeah. Like that's why people listen to Joe Rogan, because like they like hearing the banter back and forth and like, because what you get throughout a conversation is like you get certain parts of a conversation you can take. Like it's like you're almost in the room hearing that conversation. So that's why I like having.
As time has gone on, it definitely now feels that way.
Yes.
When I first started the podcast, it was a little bit more like, oh, whatever. But now it's like.
Yeah, it's not like I'm just asking you, hey, share some shit with the audience, start dancing or something. Yeah, yeah.
It feels like a conversation now. Like it feels like. Okay, cool. But no, I would just say that. I would say maybe do some more just solo ones, bro.
Yeah.
Get people to see you a little bit more, like your personality.
Just talk about what the fuck I've been struggling with type shit, or like what I've been trying to overcome, or like what I've learned, or what like, because that's what I do talk about for the most part. But I'm just like, I want to make it like, and maybe you're right. Maybe they would tune in for that. But I think I just been in my head about it because like I'm still trying to get to these places I want, but then again, maybe I don't have to be there yet to share. Like
what I was about to say. Just like, let's say, maybe you do one solo pod on your day off and you recap the week maybe even with this, maybe like a series about just this. Like, yo, this week I went out here, we did this.
Mm.
This is what we're looking like. This is what we're setting up for next week. I don't know. Maybe bring people a little bit more into your head, maybe on specifically on this part of your journey, like in life, like where you're like, all right, look, like, you know, guys know I'm doing this. These videos is going to be more like a check it. Maybe you just don't even treat it like you're putting it out.
Yeah.
You treat it more like you like a video where you kind of just put everything out there. Like, okay, I did this week.
This is just to express myself.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you also, maybe ideas could come up and like, oh, maybe you're talking out loud and something. You know what I mean? Like, versus, like, just being in your head about it.
Yeah.
And then, at the end of the day, maybe that video is, like, actually kind of fire. And some people, like to see that. Yeah. Like, and then, because the way I see it, too, is, like, maybe people will also feel like, especially like our people that like people that know you, like generally fuck with you, your people in El Paso and shit, like maybe they'll feel also more like, oh, maybe he, you know, I haven't heard from him, but I'm being able to hear this conversation, I still feel like I'm a part of this.
Got you.
Type of
yeah,
way.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, so I maybe, like that.
Maybe something like that. Maybe, you know, maybe get into like
OnlyFans girls.
I was about to say maybe like amateur porn stars here.
The casting couch.
The casting yeah. couch. Yeah, actually. Yeah, what the hell? They can't see it, huh? No, yeah. They can't see it. It's literally right there, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sit on that couch. Nah.
No, but yeah.
Hell yeah. But yeah, man, I think we can talk for hours, but I'm kind of tired of hearing this dude's voice. So that is a wrap for the MVP
cool.
episode 77.
Cool.
77.
77. But yeah, dude.
Yeah, hopefully cool. you feel honored being on here, you know?
I feel like I probably wasted the last, what, hour and a half of my life.
I know,
but
you got work blowing up and shit.
No, but yeah, we'll be, stay tuned, man. We're really proud of what we're working on, and we can't wait to share it with you guys, because I feel like it'll be dope, and everybody will like it. Mm. I do feel that. Okay, maybe not everybody, but I feel like our people will like it. Like our El Paso will be proud. Like I feel like I don't know.
If
I feel like
proud of it, and we're putting out something that we know. Cause like let's talk about like what. Cause you're talking about like your caption.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
I think what we're doing is obviously like we're super. Like the product is of utmost importance, and like we want to share a piece of like Northern Mexico, like mm-hmm. where my family's from, and
just everything. The story is sick. Like,
yeah,
everything
like
is
we
cool.
we want to share that product, like first and foremost. But at the end of the day, it's like we want to create a brand that embodies like who we are as people, and like really do something like I don't know, like what you said about cultural significance is like big, like. There's definitely something there where it's like it's more than just like the spirit itself. Yeah. It's more so about what the spirit stands for.
Just exactly. Yeah. Which is like why I'm. Which is like the one thing about like sharing the stuff and like sharing it with people that you know care about us and people I care about and just even or even like maybe like people that were like friends at one point and they're no longer like super close, but you know you still keep tabs on and check in on each other and whatnot. Like just seeing. How hyped they get.
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool. And I feel like maybe that impact could, well, like we can't even fathom it just yet, but yeah. Maybe like, you know, people will be, we can, one day it'll get to the point where people are like, yo, like I went to school with the guy that did this. And you know,
or like I saw
I was
them
there from the beginning. Like
I saw them, like he came podcast. Into my spot and was like trying to sell it or trying to have me taste it. You
yeah.
know?
Or like I saw the terrible podcast that they did.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like you know, like just from that, maybe like though, like a sense of pride and.
You know what hypes me up is that like there's people that I've shared the sotol with that are genuinely excited as fuck for us. Mm. Where it's like they might be connoisseurs or just like the thought of it. It's like I've had people try it and they're like, dude, like, and almost to the point where like they want to help us.
Yeah.
Get to where we want to go, you know? And so seeing that, it's like if we can make one person feel like that, it's like, yo.
Yeah, like who how many other people could we, I guess, impact in a way or like, you know, or reach?
Yes.
How many more people could we reach?
And yeah. Well, yeah, man. Hopefully this we just don't get canceled and fucking.
That's like the biggest fucking thing now, right?
Probably this probably be the only podcast we ever do. Enjoy it.
I'll do one more, like maybe when it's like when I'm old.
How about when things are going?
Like, yeah,
like we're popping
when
off.
When it's popping off. Yeah. When it's popping off. Maybe one.
Do
more.
One on a yacht in Monaco.
Yeah, we're fucking. Our wives are thinking we're on a business trip. Yep. We're fucking, you know, which technically we are.
Yeah.
If we do the podcast and like the boat is just
rocking.
Right. Having a good time.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. My guy.
All right, y'all.
Cool.
Peace.